brothers and sisters and young people, and a warm welcome to those listening in online as well. Hope you're all doing well, and welcome to our meeting here this morning. I am Brother Daniel Tierley, and I'll be your chairman for this morning. I'm joined on the platform today by our brother Andrew Critland, who will give us the words of exhortation. Our brother Andrew has asked that we read from Psalm 89, verses 1 to 16. I will now ask our brother Andrew to come and give us the words of exhortation around his theme, Yahweh's mighty arm and strong hand. Brother Andrew.
Well, good morning, brethren and sisters, and young people. Well, I think there's something really beautiful about the way that God is presented in Scripture. So God is presented to us in John 4 as a spirit. In 2 of Chronicles 16 and verse 9, it makes reference to his eyes, which run to and fro throughout all of the earth. In Psalm 34 and verse 15, it makes reference to his ears that are open to the cry of the righteous. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, it makes reference to his mouth from which proceedeth his words. Exodus 24 and verse 10 make reference to his feet, which the elders in Israel saw as part of a vision of his glory. In Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26, it makes reference to his face with the prayer that God's face would shine upon us. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, it makes reference to his heart, where God speaks as David being a man after his own heart. But of all of those different body parts that are referenced and the various symbols that they represent, perhaps the most expansive and multifaceted of all of these references in Scripture is to the arm and the hand of Yahweh. In fact, I'm going to suggest to you that within Scripture, the arm and the hand of Yahweh, you will find almost the entire character of God described just through his mighty arm and his strong hand. And this morning we're going to consider the five ways in which the arm and the hand of Yahweh are presented in Scripture, and what it means for you and me as we await the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So five aspects, brethren and sisters, of the mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh. And I think that we can take a lot of encouragement from each of these five aspects because they all impact us individually. So Scripture presents us with the arm and the hand of Yahweh that makes, the arm and the hand of Yahweh that molds, the arm and the hand of Yahweh that protects, the arm and the hand of Yahweh that judges, and the arm and the hand of Yahweh that saves. So let's just consider each of those five in a little bit more detail. Firstly, the arm and the hand of Yahweh that makes. You know, we often quote from Psalm 33, verse 6, in relation to creation, where we have the voice of Yahweh directing the angels for the creative work. And this definitely corresponds with when we read through Genesis chapter 1, and we find repeated on several times that God said. But we also find the hand of Yahweh referenced extensively in his creative work. If you come over just a few pages to Psalm 95, if we have a look, Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7, O come, let us sing unto Yahweh, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalm. For Yahweh is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills in his also. The sea is his, and he hath made it, and his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. So we're presented with this vision of Yahweh as the creator using his hand to form the dry land and all of the deep places of the earth, and all of the people are in his hand. So we have the maker taking action with his hands. And if you turn over another page to Psalm 102, in verse 25, we read, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." So now we have the hand of Yahweh also seen in the creation of the heavens. Psalm 8 verse 3 calls it the work of his fingers. And we get very similar language in Isaiah 40 and verse 12, speaking about Yahweh's strong hand and his arm of power. Isaiah writes, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance?" And also Isaiah 48 verse 13, "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens." So we can imagine Yahweh's intimate involvement in the creative work. His hands are measuring. They're generating out the spans. They're weighing. They're moving. They're making the heavens and the landscapes and the waters across the face of the earth. So Yahweh's mighty arm and strong hand is seen in creation. And you get that sense in the Genesis record, in Genesis 2 verse 7, in regards to the creation of mankind. Yahweh formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You know, this forming of man from the clay would have been a physical action using his hands, forming and shaping and molding, just like he did with the heavens and with the foundations of the earth and the waters of the sea. So, brethren and sisters, the arm and the hand of Yahweh makes. And they haven't become idle in the thousands of years since he completed that creative work. They're not now idle, they're still active. They're as active as they ever have been. And that's the second point that we want to consider, which is the arm and the hand of Yahweh that molds. It's really linked really closely to his creative work. It's the way that he continues the work of his creation, both at a national level, but also at an individual level. So if we turn over to Jeremiah chapter 18, we can start to see Yahweh's creative hand, certainly at that national level. Jeremiah chapter 18, we've got Jeremiah being sent to watch the potter at his work, and in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, the word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Yahweh? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." So Jeremiah is watching the potter. The potter is working the vessel on the wheel, and Jeremiah witnesses that this vessel is marred. And it's marred in the hand of the potter. It's not the hand which is marred, it's the vessel that's marred. And Jeremiah witnesses the potter make this vessel again. And perhaps that is one of the most profound images that we have in Scripture, is of the potter, God, using his hands in the way that he interacts with his people as the potter. And the question that Yahweh poses in verse 6 here has an emphasis on the potter's hand, which is shaping and molding the clay. The clay is in the potter's hand, in the same way that the nation is in Yahweh's hand. And so we've got the potter molding and shaping the nations, molding and shaping each and every one of us. And in that chapter, verses 7 to 10, speak about the way that the arm and the hand of Yahweh influences a nation. We read, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If the nation again whom I have pronounced turns from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." And so Yahweh is actively working and molding these nations that he is talking about here in this reference. And we can see the hand of Yahweh in the nations today. I mean, that's what we often say, isn't it? We see the hand of Yahweh in the nations today. He's actively involved. Think about the things that are happening in Europe, things that are happening in the Middle East and even in America. That's the potter's hand molding and shaping the events and the people to ultimately fulfill his will and his purpose. You know, the hand of Yahweh has been involved in the nations since creation. And you have this really great example, if you look even outside of the children of Israel, if you go over to Isaiah 45, you've got this great example of the hand of Yahweh just actively working in the nations. Isaiah 45, this is the chapter where Cyrus is called Yahweh's anointed. So talking about Cyrus and what's happening there in Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 3, "Thus saith Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden treasures of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, Yahweh, which call thee by my name, am the God of Israel." Notice the image that is presented here. Yahweh is using his hand to hold Cyrus's hand, holding him up. He's almost dragging him along, taking the lead. And Yahweh is using his hand to open the gates, to break in pieces the brass, to cut the bars, to give the treasures. When you look at the history of what happened when Cyrus came into the gates in Babylon, you almost get this sense that perhaps an angel had gone in advance and opened up those gates because they just happened to be open at the time that they came in. So Yahweh is actively involved in the progress of the nations. His hand is molding these events. And it continues further in verses 11 to 13 of Isaiah 45, "Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and I will let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith Yahweh of armies." You know, the people resent the idea that Cyrus would end their captivity. So Yahweh links the idea that the same hands used in the creative work are now shaping the nations and directing Cyrus's ways. So his hands are not just stretched out across the heavens, they're also commanding their host. And Yahweh is continuing that work today. When you have a look in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, you've got that sense of Yahweh saying that he removes kings, he sets up kings, he gives wisdom to the wise and the knowledge to them that know understanding, actively working. And we can take a great deal of comfort to know that Yahweh's mighty arm and his strong hand are just as active today in making the world ready for the fulfillment of his plan and purpose. And not only did he make the world with his mighty arm and his strong hand, he's molding it as well. Of course, we know that it's not just the nations that the potter is molding with his hands. It's us as well, brethren and sisters. Isaiah 64, verse 8, we read, "But now, O Yahweh, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we are the work of thy hand." So just like the potter is molding the clay into a vessel according to his will, just like he's doing with the nations, so God is shaping and forming the lives of his people by his divine hand. The mighty arm and the strong hand that created all things is molding us to be a vessel that is acceptable in the day of the Lord's return. You know, that's a process which is not always comfortable. It's a process that's not always easy. It's in our nature, I think, to want to be the master of our own destiny. But we're told that the hand of Yahweh is there to mold us. And it's a process that lasts a lifetime. You know, there's only really two things that can stop Yahweh from molding us. The first thing that will stop the process of Yahweh molding us, or the potter molding, is if the clay refuses to let the hand of the potter do the work. So if we refuse to let the potter's hand mold our lives, then that molding process is going to stop. You know, that's someone who turns their back on the potter or constantly resists the hand in their lives, or decides that the world would be a better molder than the potter. You know, the potter cannot mold the clay if the clay is completely absent. Without the potter's hand in our life, we surely would risk drying out as the heat of the world will start to have its pull on us. Unless, of course, we turn back to God, in which case his hand is always ready to continue molding us. The second thing that will stop the process of molding is when the potter finishes the work. When the time is right and when our Lord Jesus Christ returns and the clay is finally perfected with divine nature, I mean, that's a gift from the potter to the clay. And until that day, we can continue to expect the molding of the potter by his mighty arm and his strong hand. So the question is, for each one of us, how is the potter molding our lives? It's different for each and every one of us. The important thing that we need to remember is that the potter ultimately has the interests of the clay at heart. He's molding us to be ready vessels for his future plan and purpose with the earth, and having a character that is manifested perfectly through us in that kingdom age. And you know what's really amazing? It's that the same mighty arm and strong hand that makes, the same mighty arm and strong hand that molds, is the same mighty arm and strong hand that is here with us and protecting us each and every day. Isn't that just an amazing thing to think about? We're being molded, and it's not easy being molded. Yet at the same time that we're being molded, we're also being protected each and every day. And that's the third point we want to look at. It's that arm and hand of Yahweh that protects. You know, there's something instinctual about using your arms and your hands as a protective device. Whether it's, you know, you sort of reach out to stop someone, or you take hold of someone and you pull them in into your protective arms. And if you want to prove it to yourself, just to see how instinctual it is, the next time that your child or your grandchild or your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister are in tears and they come to you and they're crying out in anguish and they're seeking your support and they're trying to hug up to you, try to just stand there with your arms up in the air. Or try to stand there with your arms folded while that scenario is presenting before you. You just want to grab hold of the person and you want to hug them up close and protect them and to bring them into your loving arm and the embrace because you love that person. That's how the Bible presents our loving Father in the heavens. Take a look back a few pages at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I'll read this verse from the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. So Yahweh's victorious right hand of rightness and justice is holding you up. Yahweh's victorious and righteous hand of justice is retaining you. That's the protection of the loving Father. And he goes on in verse 13, for I, Yahweh, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. So when we run to God in anguish or in the need for his protection, what does he do? Well, he doesn't recoil. He doesn't look away. He doesn't withhold his hand. He reaches out that right hand of rightness and justice. And he takes hold of our hand into his hand. What a beautiful picture that is. And it's so encouraging for each and every one of us as we struggle through mortality. Yahweh knows that we need protection. Isaiah 35 and verse 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands. Hebrews 12 verse 12 says, strengthen your feeble arms. So we have weak arms and feeble hands. Well, of course we do. We're only human. And the trials and the tribulations that we face in mortality continue to remind us of that fact. Yahweh knows that our hand is weak and our arm is feeble. And what a contrast between the mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh with our own weak hand and feeble arms. And throughout the Bible, the hand and arm of God are powerful symbols of his protection, his care, his defense. His arm acts as a fortress, a refuge, and a shield against adversaries. David felt that way. This is what he says in Psalm 18, verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. This shows us that God's protection is an active thing. It's not passive. Just like that shield physically guards a person from attacks, God's hand acts as a shield around his people, ensuring that no harm can touch them unless it is allowed by his sovereign will. God's right hand, full of power, constantly at work to defend those that trust in him. His arm and his hand lift up our own weak hand and feeble arms. And there's such comfort to know that during our trials and our tribulations, the arm and the hand of Yahweh are there to protect us and to help us and to hold us up. You know, just like the hand and the arm of Yahweh protects, it also judges. And that's the thing about the arm and the hand. They can offer protection and comfort, and they can also be used to pass judgment. I mean, we understand that quite well. The same arm and hand that is attached to a parent will offer love and protection and comfort to the child, and it's the same hand and arm that will give discipline to the child. Well, it's the same for our Father in heaven. And that's the sentiment in Isaiah 5 and verse 25 in relation to God's children and their wickedness. This is what it says. Therefore is the anger of Yahweh kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. David also knew that the strong hand of Yahweh was there for judgment. He says in Psalm 21 verse 8, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. It's an interesting perspective because it's showing that Yahweh's hand is actively involved in seeking out his enemies, and his right hand is going to find those that hate the king. And so the hands are actively involved in the judgment. You know, the idea that the hand of Yahweh is stretched out in judgment is actually all throughout the story of the plagues. I don't know if you've ever noticed it when you look at the plagues, but when you look at it and you find how much the hand is referenced in each of those plagues. We're not going to turn up these references, but just listen to the number of times that the hand is referenced in relation to the plagues. So Yahweh told Moses that Pharaoh would not hearken unto Moses because Yahweh wanted to lay his hand upon Egypt. In the first plague, Yahweh said, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters, and they shall turn to blood. In the second plague, Yahweh told Aaron to stretch forth his hand with the rod over the streams and rivers and cause the frogs to come into the land. In the third plague, Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust, and it became lice. In the fifth plague, it says the hand of Yahweh is upon the cattle. In the sixth plague, Moses and Aaron take handfuls of ashes from the furnace and sprinkle it before heaven, and it becomes boils breaking forth. In the seventh plague, Yahweh said he would stretch out his hand and smite the people with pestilence. In the eighth plague, Yahweh told Moses to stretch out his hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts to come. In the ninth plague, Yahweh told Moses to stretch out his hand towards heaven, and there was darkness. In the tenth plague, the people were told to be ready to leave with the staff in their hand. So you can't miss the connection between God's judgments against the Egyptians during these plagues with the mighty hand and the strong hand and strong arm. So the arm and the hand of Yahweh are shown as being stretched out in judgment against the nations when they sinned, and against idolaters, and against false worshippers, and against his enemies. So there's got to be a lesson for that for us, brethren and sisters. It's that Yahweh is righteous judge, and he brings judgment when it is needed. But there's also a balance with Yahweh. And perhaps the most fascinating aspect of the example of the plagues is that the same mighty arm and strong hand that was used to judge the Egyptians is also seen as the mighty arm and the strong hand that saves. And that's the fifth aspect that we're looking at, Yahweh's mighty arm and strong hand that saves. And we saw it in our reading this morning. Let's just turn back to Psalm 89. By the way, the reason we chose Psalm 89 is not just because our theme is found in verse 13, but also it's because all five elements that we're looking at this morning are found in this chapter. So you'll find all five elements of the mighty arm and the strong hand right here in Psalm 89. The arm and the hand of Yahweh that makes is found in verse 11, which founded the heavens and the earth. The arm and the hand of Yahweh that molds is found in verse 21, molding David. The arm and the hand of Yahweh that protects is found in verse 18, defending and protecting. The arm and the hand of Yahweh that judges is found in verse 10 when he broke Egypt to pieces. And the arm and the hand of Yahweh that saves is found in verses 13 and 14 where we find the mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh. And what would that mighty arm and strong hand of Yahweh bring? Well, in verse 14, justice and judgment, mercy and truth. For the worthy, the combination of Yahweh's justice and judgment and mercy and truth leads to salvation, delivered through his mighty arm and his strong hand. And that's actually the way that God himself describes those events that occurred with Egypt. He says to the people in Exodus 6 verse 6, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. So Yahweh's outstretched arm would accomplish two things when Israel was saved in Egypt: redemption through his mercy and judgment. And when you follow through the record in Deuteronomy, you find that Moses picked up on this exact point as well. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15, he says, And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that Yahweh thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Deuteronomy 26 verse 8, And Yahweh brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. So Yahweh's mighty hand and outstretched arm saved the people out of Egypt while simultaneously judging the Egyptians. Now you get this image of Yahweh's outstretched arm. It's straining to reach as far as possible so that he might save. It's like he slaps the Egyptians with one hand and at the same time is shepherding the children of Israel in safety with the other. You know what's interesting is that when you fast forward in the time of Israel's history, you find the exact same sentiment is picked up when the children of Israel are in captivity in Babylon. Turn with me to Isaiah 51, just so we can see that. Yeah, they've been saved out of the hand of Egypt. Now they're in captivity again. They're in captivity in Babylon. And in Isaiah 51 and verse 9, they're calling out to Yahweh, Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahweh, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? So the people are calling out to Yahweh out of captivity, and they're pleading with Yahweh to wake up and use the strength of your arm to save us. You've done it before. You've done it to save us out of Egypt. Use that same strong arm to save us out of Babylon. Of course, we know from history that's exactly what he did. He saved them out of captivity. And it's exactly what he's going to do again, brethren and sisters, at the time of our salvation. cast your eye over the page to Isaiah 52 and verse 10. Yahweh hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of his people. This is the time when our Lord Jesus Christ will return. And once again, Yahweh is going to use his mighty arm and his strong hand. He's going to make bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations across the whole ends of the earth, and they're going to see his salvation. The amazing thing for us is that Yahweh himself confirms that his arm is just as mighty today, it's just as strong today as it's ever been. You know, the people didn't believe that Yahweh could save them. They didn't really believe that, despite what they cried out. If you have a look back a page in Isaiah 50 and verse 2, Yahweh says, "Wherefore, when I come, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea and I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst." So his hand is not shortened. His saving arm is strong. And we can have absolute confidence that he's going to use it to save us when his son returns. So Yahweh's mighty arm and strong hand that makes, it molds, it protects, it judges, it saves. And when we consider that we're here this morning to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, we find that there is a most wonderful and a beautiful connection with the arm and the hand of Yahweh and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Yahweh's mighty arm and strong hand makes, molds, protects, judges, and saves, but it was also revealed through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw that in Isaiah 53 over the page. Isaiah 53 in verse 1, one of the servant songs speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed?" Well, it was revealed through the Messiah for whom all things were made. It was revealed through the Messiah who was molded into the perfect example of God on earth. It was revealed through the Messiah who Yahweh describes in Isaiah 49 verse 2 as being protected by the shadow of his hand. It was revealed in the Messiah who would become the judge of the world. It was revealed in the Messiah whose sacrifice would bring salvation. You know, at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in her song, Mary says in Luke 1 verses 51, "His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed the strength with his arm." So Yahweh is showing the strength with his arm. The Lord Jesus Christ is continuing the work. Let's just turn to our last reference. It's John chapter 10. As we bring our considerations to a close regarding the hand and the arm of Yahweh, John chapter 10, revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10 verses 27 to 30. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." What a dramatic picture that presents as we consider our topic this morning. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ is holding onto your hand, and his arm is strong, and his hand is mighty, and there's absolutely no way that anyone can pluck us out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you've got Yahweh holding on to the other hand, and his arm is strong and his hand is mighty, and there's no way that anyone can pluck us out of Yahweh's hand. salvation and eternal life. That's the guarantee for anyone who is in the care and the protection of the outstretched hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven. And let's take that as encouragement during the week, brethren and sisters. The mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh and his Son are active in our lives. The mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh created the heavens and the earth and everything within it. And we can witness that every single day. The mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh is actively molding the nations and molding us in our walk. He has chosen us to be a part of his plan and purpose with this earth. And what a privilege that is. The mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh is right there with us, defending us, protecting us from evil. In tribulation and trouble, he's holding up our weak hand and our feeble arms. He's got us. He's never going to let us go. The mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh will very soon judge the world in righteousness. The mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh, which judges, will also save us, brethren and sisters. Save us from mortality and weakness. The salvation will come through the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, from which no one can pluck us out. What a wonderful thing for us to consider. And as we leave this place and as we go about our week, let's consider the mighty arm and the strong hand of Yahweh making and molding, protecting, judging, saving, along with our Lord Jesus Christ, who's there at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the return to the earth and keeping us in his hands. And may the time soon come when these mighty arms and this strong hand will be laid bare in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see his salvation.